Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 18.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Horn. Representative Horn in the chamber. Representative Warren will offer today's prayer. If Representative Warren would approach. You answered up, sir. It was Representative Horn, but we have Representative Warren standing in.
Close enough. Heavenly Father, we gather today to begin work on the work of the people. We ask for your blessing upon this assembly. Guide us, direct us, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, after consulting with Representative Horn and Warren, the journal for February 26 has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for February 26 to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, please join me in welcoming with us our nurse of the day, Connie Mason from Wilmington. Ms. Mason, thank you for being with us, please. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren are recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren. Finance Committee report, House Bill 4, Claremont de-annexation, favorable and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills are referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 7, Graham County Occupancy Tax, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson recognized to send forth the committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report, House Bill 76, School Safety, Omnibus, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable counter, committee substitutes, re-refer to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, recognize, send forth committee report.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report, House Bill 114, gross premium tax, PHPs, favorable, committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitutes re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognized to send forth the committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report, House Bill 44, Fort Fisher Historic Site Funds, favorable and re-referred to Appropriations, Agriculture, Natural Resource, Economic Resources.
Referred to the Committee on Appropriations, Agriculture, and Natural Resources.
House Bill 52, Wrightsville Beach Local Act Amendment, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Refer to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 59, Winston-Salem Real Property Conveyances, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Refer to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 105, Red Light Cameras, Hope Mills, and Spring Lake, favorable and re-referred to Judiciary.
Refer to the Committee on Judiciary.
House Bill 134, Filing Vacancies, Onslow County Board of Commissioners, favorable and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules. Representatives Davis and Stevens, recognized to send forth the committee report. Corker Reed.
Representatives Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 100, require training police telecommunicators, favorable and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 108, PED, safekeepers health care cost recovery practice, favorable and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 119, fees and clarify as a company police agency, favorable and refer to finance.
Bills referred to the Committee on Finance. Representatives Davis and Stevens recognize send forth the committee report. Corker Reed.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 121, expunction related to RTA, no conviction, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and we refer it to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. The committee sub is referred to Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Davis and Stevens recognize send forth additional committee report. Corker Reed.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 122, Criminal Information Network revised fee, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer it to finance.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute is referred to the Committee on Finance.
House Bill 130, allow game nights, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer it to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is the original bill is on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute chair directs that that bill actually be referred to the Committee on Finance. Strike referral to Rules. And then add a secondary referral to if favorable finance to Rules. Members, we're going to take up the introductions of bills and resolutions at the conclusion of session during the administrative portion. But we have a number of recognitions the chair would like to make at this time. First off, on motion of the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to members of the Eastern Band of Cherokee who are here with us today. And they're with us in the gallery. When I call their name, I would ask them to please stand. We have Principal Chief Richard Sneed, Councilman Perry Shell, Councilman Albert Rose, Councilman Bo Crow, Councilman Tom Juanita, and Councilman Jeremy Wilson. Please stand and we want to thank you for being with us today. On motion of the members representing Bertie and Hertford counties, Representatives Goodwin and Hunter, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to little leaders who study leadership skills, justice issues, and anti-bullying strategies. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? On motion of Representative Adcock and all members of the House, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a number of school nurses who are with us in the gallery. Would y'all please stand? Are they with us? Representative Adcock, just let us know if they come back. We'll be glad to do that. On motion of Representative Hunter of Hertford County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesy is actually not of the gallery, but of the floor to former Representative Annie Mobley. There she is in the back. Thanks for being with us today, Annie. And upon motion of the chair, we're happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to members of the Appalachian State University Student Government Association. Would y'all please stand? Over here on the left. Thanks for being with us. Members, we have a number of bills. What the chair will do is the lady from Wilson has a point of personal privilege. The chair is going to recognize her to speak to that. The lady also has a representative statement that will be read at the conclusion of session today, but the lady is recognized at this time to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, having submitted a representative statement on behalf of the North Carolina Legislative Black Caucus with the clerk, we ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment.
So
what? And we ask that it be spread across the journal. We would like to be recognized to speak on this statement, Mr. Speaker.
Lady has four.
Thank you. We celebrate Black History Month to recognize great achievements and contributions of African Americans that have paved the way for us. This month has been an important time to reflect on our nation's African American history and the great citizens that fought for equality and overcame the odds, many of whom have sat in the same seats we are sitting in now. It is important to remember that despite the first African Americans being elected to serve in the North Carolina General Assembly in 1868, practices and laws barred them from elective office from 1968. The representative statement is an honor and celebration of the former members of this illustrious body, the North Carolina House of Representatives, covering from 1969 until 2018. We officially acknowledge that all 69 of these former members paved the way for those of us here and made an invaluable contribution to public policy in the great state of North Carolina. For their commitment and the sacrifices they made and their families, we are eternally grateful. Mr. Speaker, there are a few other members who plan to make brief remarks on the end of this Black History Month. Thank you.
Further speakers to point of personal privilege on this matter, the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing me this opportunity. There's a saying that I use quite a bit when I go to speak. Society will only be great when men and women plant trees that they were never set under. Many of the trees that we're setting under today is because someone planted that tree. They might not be here today to enjoy it, but we owe much to many of our colleagues who endured difficulties in order to allow us to serve today. So I just want to just stand and remember particular one gentleman in particular, was my good friend William Wainwright. Many of you knew that. And I just think of people like Representative Wainwright and many others. But I'm just grateful to be here today to just to share that thought with you about this work in which we do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to also speak to this in respect to the individuals who preceded me in the House seat that I now hold. I particularly want to pay homage to Mr. Jerry Braswell, who left the General Assembly back in the mid-90s to become a Superior Court judge in Wayne County, and he was replaced by Mr. Jimmy Ford, who at that time served the rest of his term. And he was defeated by Mr. Larry Bell, who we all know and love, who sat in this seat for the last 18 years prior to my arrival. And I would just like to acknowledge those gentlemen who preceded me in this seat. Thank you.
The lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make sure I also stand and pay tribute to those who I stand on the shoulders of, because without them, there would be no me. So those ways that they have paved for us, of course, have been sometimes trying, but they continued and they did what they did in order to allow us to be here. So I'm paying homage to Representative Annie Mobley and Representative Bobby Richardson, who's no longer here from just serving the last term, and there's many, many others. And so I would like to say thank you to them and also to current sitting members, African-American members who are here, because I personally look up to you and the things that you do, and many of you have been here for a while, knowing that I'm only here for a day, so I'm just learning. So I walk in your footsteps, and I watch what you do, and I thank you because you are creating Black history for me as well. God bless you, and thank you for this privilege.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As we look at this month in celebration of Black History Month, and we look at this body, we understand very clearly that diversity is a gift that we continue to give to this body, and policy is made better when you have diverse perspectives coming together to do so. And that has been the history that African Americans have brought to this chamber. And Forsyth County in particular has given the state of North Carolina great leaders who've come from Forsyth County to serve, in particular those who served in the 72nd House District, such as Ms. Annie Brown Kennedy, and also my good friend, rest in peace, Representative Earlene Parman. I still have a voicemail that she would call me as a city council member to ask me what was happening on the city council, and I have not deleted that voicemail because every now and then I pick it up to listen to it, to hear her voice, to stay encouraged at the work that we do, and hopefully you all remember her and the work that she's done in this chamber as well. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise? Well, ladies, we're going to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I was specifically asked to stand up on behalf of Jean Farmer Butterfield. Representative Butterfield and I have been friends for a long time since we've been here. As a matter of fact, as she reminded me, I loaned her my hat to wear to her, for her mother to wear to her granddaughter's funeral, wedding. I hope it wasn't a funeral. Wedding. We are friends. We are, despite our political differences and our diversity and our political differences, we are friends and we can be friends. And what she has challenged me, and I will challenge each of you, is regardless of race or party, reach out every day for the next month or so and get to know a member of this legislative body that you don't know. If you recall, my daughter called me down a little bit, and I won't embarrass Josh Dobson again, but saying things that you didn't know about people. I will start right now by telling you my daughter was incredibly impressed with Representative Reeves' speech against me on election day, and she might have voted for you had she been able to vote. But it's just so interesting as we get to know each person's background. We all come from something very different. So see if you can't find out something different or unique about some other person that you know nothing about. We all have very interesting stories and interesting histories, and it'll be good for us to get to share them. Thank you.
The gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As we culminate the activities in conjunction with the recognition of contributions made by African Americans in Black History Week, I certainly would be remiss if I didn't recognize and give homage to those 69 individuals who preceded us. I'm reminded of the late George Henry White back in the era of 1867, right after the Civil War, on through today's recognition. And I specifically am very appreciative of the efforts expended by one whose seat I now occupy. Would not be here were it not for the tremendous contributions of this gentleman. You all would know him, and he's not late. He's still with us. Henry Mickey Michaud. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm absolutely in awe to be able to mention the name of Representative Henry Frye, whose relatives were neighbors of ours in Winston-Salem. They were from Ellerby. And to give honor to African American History Month, because it was during the time that he came to this body some 50 years ago, I think it was 1968 or 69, I believe, I remember distinctly being away from my hometown, but recognizing that it was in turmoil and we needed to do some things to bring about this kind of inclusiveness that we are celebrating today. because it was then that we needed to do something. And I appreciate the whole notion of diversity, but I think inclusiveness is my word because it allows me to recognize that 69 people did precede our being able to be here, and we are eternally grateful for that. And we hope that moving forward, we will be able to operate in a spirit of inclusiveness for all to be able to do their job for the people who sent us here. Thank you very much. And with that, I'd like to say that this, I'd like to give you the names of the members of the Black Caucus, who are officers, and we have Senator Paul Lowe, who is our chair, Representative Kelly Alexander, who is our first vice chair. The second vice chair is, I am the secretary, Representative Candy Smith, treasurer, Joyce Wardell, chaplain, Senator Don Davis, parliamentarian, and Senator Mohammed is sergeant at arms. Thank you very kindly for allowing me to speak.
The gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to rise to speak to all those who have come before us, as everyone else has, and to celebrate Black History Month, but to specifically speak to my predecessor, Representative H.M. Mickey Mishaw. He was probably one of the most famous words that he, or phrases, or things he would say is that those, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who choose a position of neutrality in the face of a moral crisis. And that's the way he lived his life. And so he is someone who also believed that North Carolina is a place where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. The only way that we can do that is when we have diversity at the table. Representative Mishaw was the first African American to serve as a U.S. attorney in the Eastern District here in North Carolina in 1970, after the 1970s, late 1970s. He also went on in 1982 to run for Congress, and it changed the way that we looked at runoff elections in North Carolina. He ran in a time where there were no special districts, and he's really blazed a trail. He spent the rest of his career fighting for voting rights and civil rights, and has left this body as the longest-serving member of the North Carolina House of Representatives. And so I want to make sure that I pay homage to him. He means a ton to me. I honor his legacy and hope to carry it on. But I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity to speak to his legacy and to celebrate Black History Day. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to pay tribute to former Congressman and State Legislator Frank W. Balance. Congressman Balance departed this life last Friday, and within a couple of hours, unfortunately, his mother-in-law also passed. Frank was born and reared in Windsor, North Carolina. He was an alumnus of North Carolina Central University, having completed undergraduate school and law school there. After he started a law practice in Warrenton, North Carolina, and he was in practice with T.T. Clayton before he had a solo practice. Congressman Balance served about two decades in the North Carolina General Assembly. He served in the House a number of years as, I don't have those exact dates, and well, he served about from 1983 to 2002, and he served as Deputy Pro Tem in the Senate from 1997 through 2002. He was a friend, a really good friend, and someone that I looked up to and learned a lot from with regard to being a good businessman and being a politician. Frank had many, many friends across this state and across the country. He lived, he was a resident of Warren County, which is in my district, and he actually served in the House at the time well, he held the seat that I now hold, although I had a different district. A memorial service for him will be held tomorrow evening at Elevation Baptist Church here in Raleigh, and a funeral service for him will be held on Friday at 12 noon at Indian Woods Baptist Church in Windsor, North Carolina. My heart and hopefully our hearts go out to his wife, Bernadine, and three children, Gary, Angela, and Valerie, with the loss of her husband and their father, as well as her mother and their grandmother. Thank you.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You've heard the various tributes from members concerning folk who have preceded us in standing here in the House. I don't want to talk about the past. What I want to talk about briefly is the future. There is a section of the North Carolina Constitution that still needs to be repealed. And I can think of no fitting memorial to the participation of African Americans in this body over time than if folk on both sides of the aisle would embrace the repeal of the literacy section of the North Carolina Constitution. It doesn't matter to me whether I would be the one who would introduce the necessary piece of legislation or somebody from across the aisle would introduce it. But that particular clause in our Constitution is an affront to everything that all of us stand for in terms of equality, of opportunity, and fellow feeling in this chapter. And so my statement is to just issue a challenge that we actually come together and do that and get it done during, you know, this biennium and this session, so that the voters of North Carolina will have an opportunity to erase that blot from our Constitution. Thank you, members. Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I also would like to pay homage to all the people that have come to us in this chamber ahead. I was blessed to have a chance to talked to specifically Representative Michelle about a lot of the history of this chamber, of African Americans in this chamber. And I would just say that we're better for the diversity. We're better for what each brought. And I think that's one of the things that we should celebrate about the chamber as a whole, that all 170 of us, the 120 on this side, 50 on the other side, bring something different to the table and allow something different that makes us better as a organization and helps us to make a better state. I always remember Representative Mashaw. He and Representative Fry kind of held special spots for me because with Representative Fry, and obviously became Justice Fry, he was one of the first African Americans that I saw in a statewide office. And it just, that was something for me to behold as a young man. And with Representative Mashaw, I had a chance to interact with him way before ever getting elected here to come up for a small local bill that we had going on at a local bar. I just hadn't been in the bar too long. And then when we were trying to pass the bill, of course, we knew we had to talk to Leo Daughtry, who we all remember here. And we were thinking once we got past Leo Daughtry, we were going to be okay. And they said, oh, no, you still got to go through Representative Mashaw's committee. And when I came up here, it was scary. It was intimidating. And what I remember is how much he went out of his way to make me and the gentleman that come with me from our bar comfortable, to give us a chance to speak, to really talk to us about the bill. And it did have some issues with the bill, and to help us to get it passed. And those kind of experiences are what I hope a lot of North Carolinians get a chance to feel when they come up here and they get a chance to deal with their legislators. But again, that showed me something about seeing somebody who looked like me in that position, and the effort that he made to reach and help me out, helped me to know that once I did get up here, that's something I needed to concentrate on doing. And I hope, obviously, we all do it, but in recognition of this Black History moment, I would just say that that meant a lot to me, and I appreciated it. And I would be remiss not to say anything about former Congressman Balance, who was another gentleman I got a chance to really get to know. I knew his kids, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful man. And again, you never were around him thinking congressman or senator or anything like that. He was just Mr. Balance. And whatever he could do to help make people's lives better, that's what he did. And again, I hope with those two, those are things that we all aim for and all understand how much that means to us as North Carolinians. So thank you for this moment, Mr. Speaker, and I hope we can enjoy it.
Gentleman from Deepin, Representative Dixon, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members. I, too, would like to express my appreciation for some Black history that I'm a part of. When I was a young boy, my grandmother reared me on a farm. My mother lived in town and worked as a telephone operator. My grandmother was a tenant farmer who farmed for other people. And almost within throwing distance of a rock across the ditch, Fate and Mamie Jones were tenant farmers. Their grandson was named Clifton. Clifton and I, he had no brothers or sisters. I had no brothers or sisters. And Clifton and I became very good friends. And I will always appreciate that portion of Black history that I was able to enjoy. Interesting thing, Clifton and I got along well. We never had an argument, to my knowledge, except the time that we were having a corn cob fight. And I had selected a very special corn cob. There are various things laying around the farm, and occasionally you can take a corn cob out of it, and Clifton peeped around the building, and I just happened to get lucky and throw it at the same time that he peeped out, and it hit Clifton. But that didn't destroy our friendship. Mr. Jones gave me my first job. My grandmother didn't have the resources to pay her grandchildren or her children to work. And Mr. Jones paid me 25 cents an hour to be able to work in tobacco. I'll conclude with this. Clifton and I didn't understand some things. We shared the same bus stop, but we got on different buses.
Lady from Durham, Representative Black, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. February, as we all know, is Black History Month. And when I was in school, I always looked forward to that month because that's when I learned so many things about the people who look like me. I learned about advocates, scientists, educators, artists, people who wrote poetry. It always gave me the knowledge that I could also do something in the world. I want to also mention a few other people from Durham who served in the House, and they are, as has been mentioned before, Mickey Mishaw, Howard Clement, Ken Spaulding, and Larry Hall. And in the words of the Honorable Howard Clement, be seen, be brief, be seated.
Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to this illustrious body. Every time this comes up around African American History Month and I get to hear everyone elaborate, it always brings me back to the memories of William P. Cunningham, who was my husband, who served in this body from 1986 to 2008, which he retired at that time. He also served in the military. He served 16 years in the Navy, 4 years in the Army as a paratrooper. But before he ever was elected, he was doing NAACP work down in Union County and worked with Robert Williams, who would later be exiled due to his work in Union County. After his passing, I was going through a lot of his things. You know how you have to clean up and you go through all these papers. And a lot of people, you just want to throw things out. And I was going through these papers and I found his story. And his story, he never did write his story, but I have the story. But I also found some other documents. I found where he wrote to Robert F. Kennedy, who was the Attorney General at that time, talking about the inequalities on military bases for the African-American men that were serving at that time. And I also found where he wrote to John F. Kennedy. And I tell you, I hold those so precious, and they're something that I put them up and I said, okay, this is something you can look back at and say, this is how far we have come. We're not arrived yet, but it shows the work that was put in, and it tells the story that continues today. We still have a ways to go. We're not there yet, but the dream still lives. Family, I say African American History Month. I am not black. This is African American History Month, which has translated over numerous years of change. So, family, I honor the presence of each individual that has come before me, but a special honor goes to my husband. And with the work and the service I give to my constituents in my district and other people across this entire state, that is how I honor him and will continue to honor him. He is gone, but he is never forgotten. Thank you.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the preamble of my remarks having already been given by the previous speakers, I just rise to add the names of Henry Fry, Bill Martin, Alma Adams, and Ralph Johnson. Those were the names of the persons who served in some iteration of North Carolina House District 58, with Justice Fry being well noted throughout the state, serving on the Supreme Court, and with the Honorable Congresswoman Alma Adams now currently serving in Congress.
The gentleman from Richmond, Representative Goodman, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One person that we have not mentioned here yet today is Howard Hunter's father, who was an outstanding member of this body. Howard, the reason Howard has not stood up is he told me he'd get emotional talking about his dad, but he was a great member here, and he accomplished one very important thing. Alma Adams introduced a bill to prohibit smoking on the floor because of Howard's father. But he did many other notable things, but he was a great member here and left a great legacy in his son, and I thought it needed to be mentioned. Thank you.
The gentleman from Cadaba, Representative Adams, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Yes, I hadn't prepared to speak, but interesting story from my family. My father, in 1944, January 1944, my father was shot down while bombing an aerodrome outside of Rome, Italy. A couple of days later, they were loaded up on a boxcar. He was captured immediately, and they were loaded up on a boxcar and headed north to a prison camp. A couple of days out, and while they were stopped in Verona, they picked up some more POWs. And Dad was in a cold boxcar in January, and he had heard a southern accent. He made his way over to the door, came face to face with a young black pilot whose name was William E. Griffin. And Dad introduced himself. He said it was so great to hear a southern accent. And so they made a 28-day journey in cold boxcar all the way to northern Germany to Barth, to Stalag Luft 1, which is on the Baltic Sea. William E. Griffin became my dad's next-door bunkmate, and there were 12 of them in the cell block together. They called themselves the Dirty Dozen. And my father, from South Georgia, became best friends with William E. Griffin. And so they spent 16 months in prison camp together. After the war, they all dispersed and went all over the world, really. And in 1985, there was a reunion. Everybody went back to the site of the prison camp, and they all got together, but they couldn't find Willie. And so they began a letter-writing campaign. It was not until 1992 that they got word that William E. Griffin was deceased. William E. Griffin was a graduate of Tuskegee Institute. He was a Tuskegee Airman, and he was quite an interesting guy. My dad and his friend said that Willie, he beat them all in chess. He was a camp champion, and he dug tunnels with them. They did everything together. And I finally found Willie's daughter and sent her all the letters and the sketch of Willie and the note that he wrote to his comrades before they left. And she had no idea that her father was the only black airman in a prison camp of 2,200 soldiers in northern Germany. So he was a very important part of my family, although I never got to meet him. I heard about him an awful lot. He's a very special character. And I've got a lot of notes from my father about him.
Lady from Wake, Representative Holly, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to talk just very briefly and to acknowledge two of Wake County's representatives, Bernard Allen, who served in this House and passed not too long ago, and one that we also all know very well, who is still with us but on the Senate side. He was the first African-American Speaker of the House, because he will not be the only one at some point. And I'd like to acknowledge their contributions of Senator Dan Blue and Bernard Allen Jr.
The lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Logan, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to recognize the lady on whose shoulders I stand on, Representative Beverly M. Earl of Mecklenburg County, who I thank and who served the people of North Carolina for 24 years, and whose shoes I will never fill, and who I know is listening to me today. Love you, Miss Earl.
Certainly want to thank those members who've stood and spoken today, and the representative statement will be read at the conclusion of session.
We're now going to move on to the calendar, House Bill 72. The clerk will read.
Representative Sane, House Bill 72, a bill to be entitled an act to express the support of the General Assembly for multiple recess periods for public schools located in Lincoln County. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Lincoln is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. This bill has been through state and local government and also through Rules Committee. We've had some very lively discussion, as I explained to my colleagues, that this bill was generated out of Ms. Richards' fourth grade class at Lincoln Charter School last year. I've gone to visit with the students, as I do often, as many of you all do, across your districts, and was talking with the students, and they had been following what we were doing very closely, and were very interested in the work of the North Carolina House. And so, but they had an idea that they shared with me, and they said, you know, this ought to be a law. We've been doing some research, and we found out that kids that get a little bit more recess each day and at different time periods during the day actually function higher. They learn more. They're more engaged in the learning process. And all it would take is if we added a little bit of time to the school day, that we could have more recess. Well, I'm no fool. I know that here are future young voters, and they had something that they wanted to share with me, and so I said, I'll make a deal with you. If you will do more research, if you will convince me a little more, so that when I go and stand on the floor of the House and I speak to my colleagues, I have something to kind of back up what I'm talking about, and that you can help me convince my colleagues to pass this law. And so they did what was required, and Ms. Richards called me, and she said, they're ready to talk to you again if you'd be there. So I went another morning and talked with them, and my son was in that class at that time. But I'm reminding you that that was last year. So as they were learning about government and how it works or sometimes doesn't work, we got the bill filed in the short session last year. I tried to convince the education chairs that this bill was of utmost importance, that the bill needed to be heard, and we had a lot of things going on last year, as you'll remember, and they didn't work me into the schedule. So, lesson for the kids. You don't always, while you may have a great idea, it doesn't always get heard, no matter who you think you are in this body or elsewhere, that it just may not get there. So, I told them, you know, just how disappointed I was that we weren't able to get their idea heard in this body, but you know, well, maybe next time. Of course, knowing that they were going on to fifth grade, and I might not hear about this issue again, but nevertheless, I was just there a couple of weeks ago in Miss Richards' fourth grade classroom again, and those fourth graders knew what their predecessors had done the year before and asked me whether or not I was going to file this bill again. And I said, you know, if you want me to do so, if you support what your classmates have done prior to, I'll do that for you. So I filed the bill, and we've had some good hearings and some good conversations. I've also had some interest across the state as people read and learn about the bill and learn that recess actually can contribute to students performing higher at higher levels in the classroom. And that also we found out as we filed the bill last year that they didn't really necessarily need permission from government to do so. They could, the leaders of the Lincoln County School System and Lincoln Charter School could make this decision on their own. But what the bill does say is that, and what it stated is that we support, said measure, and if the local bodies want to do so and are so emboldened, they can institute, add 10 minutes to their day and have two recesses and the kids could potentially learn more. So as you read the bill, you'll see that I mentioned some of the research that the children have done. I've talked to our local superintendent. She's supportive, and the school board at the charter school is also supportive. They love the idea. The kids will be listening. They're out of school this afternoon, but they will be listening tomorrow to the audio, and I followed this process along the way. So I think it's been a wonderful learning experience for them. I stand for any questions and ask that you support the bill. Thank you.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Brody moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman has floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess when I first read it, I took a liking to this one. I seem to remember that my teachers probably said I specialized in recess when I was a kid. So I just wanted to, real simple, to add a school in Union County to this bill, and Representative Sane gave me the thumbs up on it, so that's what I'd like to do. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1, set forward by Representative Brody. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, the amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 72 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 72, having passed its second reading, will, unless there's a suspension of the rules, remain on the calendar. Is there objection to suspension of the rules so that the bill may have its third reading? Is there objection? Hearing none, the chair directs the bill be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
And for what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
Should the bill sponsor would answer a question.
Gentleman from Lincoln, yield to the gentleman from Duplin. He yields.
I yield, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Sane, during this process, have you determined whether you're smarter than a fifth grader yet or not?
Representative Dixon, I appreciate the question, and what I have learned through this process and through the questions posed by the fourth graders that they're probably a lot smarter than most of us in this body. Thank you, sir.
The chair rules the answer to that question is no. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 72 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 72, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 3, the clerk will read.
Representatives Hall, Lewis, Goodwin, and McGrady. House Bill 3, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the North Carolina Constitution to prohibit condemnation for private property except for the public use and provide for the payment of just compensation of the right of trial to jury of all recommended cases and to make similar statutory changes. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 3 proposes a constitutional amendment that will prohibit condemnation of private property except for public use. It will require just compensation for property taken, and it requires that compensation be decided by a jury if either of the parties so request. The bill also contains some conforming statutory changes to make clear that property can only be taken for a public use, but those statutory changes also show that public utilities and other entities who currently possess the power of eminent domain will continue to do so even under the constitutional amendment that's contained within this bill. If you were here in 2017, you saw this exact bill. We haven't changed anything at all. It passed the House at that point, 106-7. And many years before that, the bills come before us in various different versions, but all similar, dating back to 2006, when I believe Senator Blue, then Representative Blue, presented a similar bill at that point. So why do we need this change in the law? Most of you are familiar with the Kelo versus City of New London case from 2005, wherein the U.S. Supreme Court said that under the federal Constitution, that the government can come in, take a citizen's property, give that property to another citizen for purposes of economic development. We believe that shouldn't be, and that's what we seek to prohibit here in North Carolina. Now, our state constitution is actually unique among all the other states in that it doesn't address the issue of eminent domain expressly. Now, our state Supreme Court has inferred such a right through our due process clause or the law of the land clause. And so in North Carolina, folks can currently be compensated. But if you read our appellate decisions from the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals over the years, frankly, they're conflicting, and it's hard to make a lot of sense out of them. It's hard to understand if the test is public use and public benefit and or a public purpose. And so, of course, a public benefit or a public purpose could be anything. We might disagree on what a benefit or a purpose might be. Public use, although not a black and white definition, is much more clear from a philosophical standpoint in that we're only going to take someone's property for purposes of a public use. We're not going to take your property so that we can give it somebody else, give it to someone else so they can build a Publix or some sort of entertainment situation. We do it only for the public use. At the end of the day, this bill is about protecting property rights. Protecting property rights is a fundamental purpose of government, and this bill helps to do that for the citizens of North Carolina. You know, a lot of folks say we're first in flight, we're first in freedom, but in a lot of ways, we're towards the bottom when it comes to protecting the rights of our citizens' private property rights in regards to eminent domain. So I ask that you support this bill, and I'll stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise.
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I've been a primary sponsor of this bill since my freshman year. As Representative Hall has told you, it's passed the House each year with substantial bipartisan support, typically 100-plus members in support of the bill. It's a direct response to a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Kelo, and without making a deep dive into it, Kelo actually allowed a Connecticut town to condemn property from one private person, and then for sort of urban development and, you know, the trying to promote economic activity, gave it over to another private individual and company. And so that's really the problem. And under the federal constitution in Kelo, that was determined to be constitutional. But the Supreme Court did something. It was a 5-4 decision, and it did something pretty important, and that is it told the states that they were certainly free under their own constitutions to determine a stricter test as to when government could condemn property. And that's what this bill is about. It also, as Representative Hall notes, guarantees a jury trial. It handles some other things that were sort of out of step with most of the other states. But it's, the heart of it is taking a really strict view as to what when government can use that power to seize somebody's property. It's about public use. Over the years, you know, an easy example is a school or a road. You know, everybody can look at that and say, well, that's a public use, and that's for the public benefit, and that's for the public purpose. But the Kelo decision had a situation where it clearly wasn't for the public use. There was nothing about it that was going to be used for public use. And We're trying really to return to our roots with this constitutional amendment. Limit the use of eminent domain to when government actually needs to condemn property or when utilities are needed, telephone and such, are needed, again, to provide those utilities or services to the public. I've turned this over to a real lawyer this year, and he's done a great job of moving this bill forward and explaining it. I'm gonna sit down and let him take it from here.
For what purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I ask, please, pursuant to Rule 24-1A, to be excused from a vote on this particular bill insofar as I have a conflict of interest with real property that is currently identified in a DOT right-of-way corridor.
Lady will be excused and simply needs to see the clerk if she's not previously done so to make sure her excuse is on file. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Caldwell yield to the lady from Wake?
I yield.
He yields.
Just for clarification, I have been a supporter of eminent domain legislation like this for a while, but I did want clarification under from line 11 through line 15, under what conditions can local public condemners condemn property, municipalities and the like?
The gentleman has the floor to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I assume that the gentlelady is talking about page 1 of the bill. Okay, page 1, 11 through 15. And I think your question may relate to dealing with situations of blight. It's important to understand that when we're talking about condemnation, there are two types of condemnation. There's the condemnation that we talk about under the power of eminent domain, where the government's taking all your property and they've got to compensate you for it. And the other part is through the police power. And that's when they're coming in and telling you that you've got to fix something on your property or we're going to tear it down. I hope that answers the lady's question. If not, I'll be glad to yield to another.
Follow up.
Gentleman, yield to an additional question?
I yield.
Yields.
My specific question is related to an experience that neighbors of mine had in a previous home when the town condemned their property for the purposes of connecting sewer from one side of the road through their property to additional real estate development. That's the question. The town condemned the property, and I just want to know if this addresses that issue.
This doesn't in any way change who currently has the power of eminent domain. If an entity such as a municipality who currently has the power of eminent domain, they'll continue to have it under this bill. The question will be, in your situation, the question will be, are they doing that for purposes of a public use? And it sounds like probably in your situation, but I would need to know a little bit more about the specific facts there. But again, doesn't really change the fact that a municipality has the power of eminent domain, only the purpose for which they can use that power.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
I'll just speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I want to thank the gentleman for putting this bill in. I think it's a very good bill. I didn't even see it till this morning. They probably don't even know that they're addressing an issue in here from years ago. Right now, and I think this was in right around 1995, it went to the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court affirmed what I'm getting ready to tell you, that the state can take your property without any compensation. Just compensation, I'll give you the example, and this was basically the situation that happened at that time, and I remember about it because I wrote a college paper on it. They were getting ready to build an intersection somewhere, I don't remember where, here in the state, and they needed, I'm going to round numbers off for the sake of conversation, they needed 5 acres from this gentleman who, let's say, owned 10 acres. Because they were going to put an intersection there, or an interchange there, the value of his remaining 5 acres doubled. And it was a case where he did not want to, did not agree to their price, and ultimately the DOT said, well, you're remaining 5 acres, double in value, that's your compensation. And he took it to court and appealed it through the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court sided with DOT that his just compensation was the doubling in value of his remaining land. What's legal is not always just, and I don't think there's anybody in here, if you think about it for a minute, can see what's wrong with that kind of situation, with that kind of a decision. The value of that land is irrelevant until if and when he gets ready to sell it. If he was going to, if his intent was to leave it to his heirs, well then he just lost 5 acres and he got nothing for it. So, but because this bill says that at the request of the party it can be determined by a jury, I think most juries would be fair and say, wait a minute, this guy needs, he should get something for that property. And so for that reason, I'm going to support this bill. I think it's a good bill and I appreciate them putting it out.
For our purpose, does the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Caldwell yield to the lady from Durham?
I yield.
He yields.
My only issue with this bill that we're asking is that this will be another constitutional amendment. And is it really necessary to go this far to make this a constitutional amendment, to ask the voters to read about just compensation and the right to trial by jury, when we can do this by statute, and we've already done it by case law with a stricter test? But is this the type of thing we want to put again before the voters on a constitutional amendment in a primary, not in a general election?
Well, thank you, Representative Maury. And I would say it's absolutely needed right now. Private property interests are one of the chief aims of government. I mean, that is literally one of the most fundamental and core reasons that government exists, is to protect the private property rights of its citizens. In addition to that, I would say we are the only state constitution, literally the only one in the entire country, that does not expressly mention eminent domain within its constitutional document. And for those reasons, we absolutely need this. We need to do it in March, because that's as soon as we can reasonably get this thing on the ballot and be able to educate the public in the meantime so that they can make an informed decision. And I believe they'll overwhelmingly approve this measure.
Speak on the bill.
Ladies recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. I have not looked at all the state constitutions, but I'm not sure every one of them mentions eminent domain. I know they do by case law. I know they do by statutory law. I am entirely for this proposition of public use. Public benefit can only be taken with just compensation. I'm not against the substance part of this bill whatsoever, but by the method of doing it with a constitutional amendment, I think we're asking too much of the voters to understand, and by doing it in a primary, not a general election, kind of short circuits the number of voters voting on this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 3 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 93 having voted in the affirmative and 21 in the negative. House Bill 3 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, aye.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was in the chamber, but I'm a little slower than I used to be, and if I could be recorded as an aye.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on second reading of House Bill 3. Question for the House, passage of House Bill 3 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Actually, strike that. This, since it's the constitutional amendment, does need to be a second recorded vote. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. It's Representative Shepherd, Representative Sasser on the floor. These gentlemen wish to record a vote. Clerk will lock the machine and Representative Alexander, the chair is going to allow you to vote. Unlock the machine, please, Mr. Clerk. Very well, it's locked. The chair will record it. We'll record Alexander as an aye. Close the vote. 95 having voted in the affirmative, 20 in the negative. House Bill 3 passes its third reading and the bill will be sent to the Senate.
House Bill 32, the clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. For what purpose did the gentleman wish to vote no? I was seeing the green tie. Maybe I thought it was green today.
You have just got it right. That was a no on the last.
Gentleman, the chair changes that. Alexander of Mecklenburg will be counted as a no vote on the previous third reading. Now, House Bill 32, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 32, a bill to be entitled an act to enact a Uniform Collaborative Law Act, as recommended by the General Statutes Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a bill that is identical to a bill that was previously introduced during our last session. At that time, it was heard before the Judiciary 1 Committee, had a unanimous favorable report. When it was heard on the House floor, it passed 112-1. It then went over to the Senate, but it was not heard by the Senate during that session. Therefore, I have reintroduced it this year. It went before the Judiciary Committee and had a favorable report. We had a very robust discussion about this bill and the different aspects of the bill. And I appreciate all the discussion that we had and the questions that were asked and answered. Then went to the Rules Committee and received a unanimous favorable report. For those that might not be familiar with the General Statutes Commission, I will just say that members of that committee include a representative from the North Carolina State Bar, from the North Carolina Bar Association, as well as each of the law schools in North Carolina. And once again, this bill came out as recommended by the General Statute Commission. And I'll give you a very brief synopsis of what collaboratory law is. Collaboratory law is a voluntary alternative dispute resolution process in which parties make a good faith effort to resolve their dispute without the intervention of a court or other tribunal. A person is not required to participate in a collaborative law process, and any party can terminate the process at any time with or without cause. A distinctive feature of collaboratory law is that the parties sign a collaboratory law participation agreement, or represented by their lawyers, who are termed collaboratory lawyers, during that process, and they agree at the beginning of the process that if they fail to negotiate a resolution of their dispute, they will each be required to retain new lawyers for any subsequent litigation relating to the collaborative matter. There was a question raised during the recent Judiciary Committee of why that provision was in there, and quite honestly, the reason that it is in there is so that it will encourage the lawyers who are collaboratory lawyers to get the case resolved. A big difference between a collaborative law process and a mediation process is that a mediation process, of course, you have a mediator, someone that's a middleman that tries to guide the two parties through the process. In the collaborative law process, there is no mediator. Therefore, once again, this provision is in there to try to encourage those lawyers to resolve that issue at that time so it won't go any further. What it does is just adds an additional arrow to the quiver of alternative dispute resolution procedures that are recognized in the state. The bill is a modified version of the Uniform Collateral Law Act that was approved in North Carolina in 2009 and amended again in 2010. To date, 17 states in the District of Columbia have adopted the act by statute or court rule. Collaboratory law is not new to this state. As I stated, the General Assembly authorized the collaborative law procedures for the resolutions of divorce and family law as set forth in Chapter 50. And that's something I'm very familiar with because I practiced domestic law when I was practicing. And what this does, it really takes the basis of what the family law has and extends it to other legal questions as well. Mr. Speaker, I stand ready to answer any questions. I would say that John Surratt, who is co-chair of the Collaborative Law Committee on the North Carolina Bar Association, and his practice is basically on alternative dispute resolution, is standing outside. He's not a member of staff, so of course he was not allowed on the floor, but I would ask your permission if I do ask a question I can't answer, if I could have him come in to address the question.
If necessary, we'll authorize that. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To speak briefly on the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
And Chairman Davis, you did a great job presenting this in committee. We did have a robust discussion. I'm all for alternative dispute resolution. I think arbitration and mediation, keeping people out of court whenever possible, is very important. This collaborative law is used some in our domestic cases, and it's done very well. The issue I have with this is we do collaborative law in principle many times. Before you go to court, someone can hire an attorney. They talk to the other side's attorney. You may get together, and you may decide we have a resolution. We don't have to go to court. It's all over. So the principle is working today in many disputes. What this would do in statute would say, if you're going to collaborative law, you have to file a participation agreement. It's voluntary, but you have to sign it. And the issue that comes up, you sign this with your attorney, the other party signs with their attorney, you're bound by not going to court, you're bound by trying to come to an agreement. At any point in this process, either side can say, we're out. And if that comes to it's over, both clients have to find new attorneys. So you can have a relationship with an attorney for years. They're your trusted advisor. You enter in this collaborative law, and suddenly the other side says, we're withdrawing. We're going to court. You cannot use your attorney that you've had that relationship with, that you've paid to do discovery, you've paid to do mediation, you've paid to talk about this, and you start the process over. A lot of people can't afford to pay a retainer and then lose their attorney and then start all over again to find a new attorney and start the process from square one. So that is my issue with this bill that we put into statute. I think it is not a service to people who are out there trying to resolve cases, hiring attorneys, and don't have the money to go through getting one or two more attorneys. So I ask you to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis Rice?
Speak on the bill a second time.
The gentleman has forward to debate the bill a second time.
With all due respect to my learned colleague, once again, remember the General Statutes Commission who proposes this bill consisted of the State Bar Association, and all the deans of the law schools in North Carolina, and they all support this bill. Also, I would emphasize the fact that this is totally voluntary. You don't have to do this procedure unless you want to. And also, when you start the procedure, you are told all the rules of the collaboratory process. So if the fact that your lawyer may not be able to represent you in the event that you don't meet the resolution, you accept that. If you don't agree to that, then you don't have to do the process. It's, once again, it's just another avenue that people can have to move forward to try to resolve their disputes without going to court. And as Representative Moore alluded to, and many times in my domestic practice, I sat down with the other lawyer and we just work things out and reach a settlement. You don't even have to go through the collaboratory process. So there are different avenues that people can take. Once again, this is just another avenue as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. I ask you to please support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 32 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Light Machine, record the vote. 90 having voted in the affirmative, 26 in the negative. House Bill 32 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for that. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 32 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 32, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 33, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 33, A bill to be entitled an act to amend the membership of the General Statutes Commission and to repeal the appointed authority of the Charlotte School of Law, which is closed, to provide deterrence of members to begin on September 1st rather than June 1st, and to harmonize the two provisions dealing with vacancies and holdover members as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Before we take up debate, for what purpose does the gentleman from Robinson, Representative Graham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to change my vote on the previous vote as to aye.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the previous vote on second reading. Now the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a bill that received a unanimous favorable report in both the Judiciary Committee and the Rules Committee prior to being presented on the floor today. This is a bill that was introduced on behalf of the General Statutes Commission, and it does three things. Number one, as I alluded to earlier, the commission consists of the deans of all the law schools in North Carolina, and which is a total composition of 14 members. As many of you may be familiar, the Charlotte School of Law is no longer in existence. Therefore, there is no longer a need for the statute to state that a member of that, or the dean of that law school, would be a member of the criminal statute. Of the commission. So what it does, it just reduces the membership in the General Statute Commission down to 13 members and eliminates that spot for the Charlotte Law School. Second thing it does in discussing when appointments, which are two-year appointments, should be begin and end, the commission stated that it would be best if September 1 was when each of these terms would start, and then August 31, 2 years later, is when they should end. And then the third thing that the bill does is simply states that if a member of the commission either resigns, dies, or ceases to be a member for whatever reason, that whatever entity appointed that person will appoint someone new. Those are the three things that it does, Mr. Speaker, and I hope that you will support the bill, and I stand ready to answer any questions.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 33 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 116 haven't voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 33 passed the second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 33 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 33, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 75. The clerk will read.
Senators Heiss, Daniel, and Bishop. Senate Bill 75, a bill to be entitled an act to restore the number of judges in North Carolina Court of Appeals to 15. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
John from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this bill does exactly what the title of the bill says. It restores the number of judges on the North Carolina Court of Appeals to 15. I will say that last week, Let me begin again. This bill, which would have ultimately reduced the number, was challenged in court. The General Assembly, as the defendants won the first round. It was appealed, but we have reached an agreement with the plaintiffs to restore it to 15, and therefore, that's what this bill does. I would ask you to please vote for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 75 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Is Representative Insko on the floor? Representative Insko, the chair sees the lady off. Is the lady which the chair will direct in this instance that be recorded as aye for Representative Insko, please? Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. Senate Bill 75 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 75 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 75, having passed third reading, is ordered returned to the Senate. Strike that. It actually will be enrolled and sent to the governor by a special messenger. Members, we're about to go to notices and announcements. Then once that happens, prior to adjournment, the rules chair is going to go through and do the introductions of bills and resolutions and some committee appointments. So at this time, and for your planning purposes, tomorrow's session will be at 10 a.m. There will, however, be no recorded votes. Strike that. The chair was informed there is ethics training tomorrow at 10, so we will take care of that at 9:30. Chair has reviewed the calendar. I believe the Agner JPS committee meets at 9, but that committee is authorized by the chair to continue its meeting into the time of session, if necessary. At that point, we're now in, and any other committees, any committee, so the chair will go ahead and without objection, authorize any committees that are scheduled to meet tomorrow to continue their meetings, even though session will be occurring. Again, the chair is informing the body that there will be no recorded votes. Hearing none, so ordered. At this time, we're now ready for notices and announcements. The chair will be turned over to the rules chair.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
Mr. Speaker, question two, inquiry, and then a moment of personal privilege, Mr.
The general may state his inquiry.
Could you, as you stand so tall up there, can give us your vision for next week? That's the inquiry.
Yes, sir. Representative Floyd, the gentleman can expect committee meetings, including rules, on Monday. No recorded votes Monday night or Tuesday. We will have votes on Wednesday of next week. The calendar will be the same. The House will convene at 7 p.m. on Monday, at 4:45 on Tuesday, and at 2 o'clock right now on Wednesday.
And my second.
The gentleman may speak up. If the gentleman has an inquiry, the gentleman may pose his inquiry.
No, I have a point. Now my moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, the gentleman that I wanted to recognize had departed. As you can see, but when he returned, if you shake his hand and say that the Lord has given him one more day, I appreciate it, Mr. Speaker. This is his birthday, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor may make his announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus on Monday evening. It will be a special caucus. I hope that all of you plan to attend. I strongly encourage all of you to attend. And if we can't find you, we'll come get you so you will attend. So the information is in your inbox. The information is in your inbox. It should be around 7:30, and you should have received an invitation to that. So look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor and may make his announcement.
The broadband work group will meet 10 minutes after session is adjourned in room 1425. Jay Rouse will present for the electric co-op some interesting broadband initiatives they have, and Ed Henson from Skyland will do the same for a telecom co-op in the northwest corner. I think it'll be an interesting meeting. It's a bipartisan work group. As Representative Lewis says, we're hoping to get a little connectivity on the bipartisan side to make this happen. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Too, I'd like to correct and ensure that for the representative statement, that Representative Jean Farmer Butterfield is our second vice chair. Thank you.
Noted. What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor, may make his announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats, returning members, remember we have ethics tomorrow from 10 to 12. So 10 to 12. I have missed ethics before and had to make it up by myself. It's not a fun experience, so try to make it if you can.
Representative Jackson, I think the members would like to know the room number.
I believe it's in 643, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, arise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor, may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I did want to acknowledge that our Guilford colleague is a new grandfather, first-time grandfather, Marcus Gabriel Miller, born on Friday, February 22nd. Congratulations, Representative Quick.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor, may make his announcement.
Yes, there'll be a joint Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety in the morning at 8:30, room 415.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor, may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
This past week, Hickory lost a very important character in our community, Charles Snipes, who was with Bank of Granite, who...
Representative Adams, members, it's very difficult for the chair to hear the gentleman. Would you please observe the decorum of the chamber? The gentleman may continue.
Yes, Charles Snipes was the CFO of Bank of Granite and made that bank into an extraordinarily powerful bank in the United States. He had a devotion to our community. It was really quite extraordinary. I think it was really represented by the fact that he had a 50-year perfect attendance in the Lake Hickory Rotary Club. That's quite a remarkable achievement. That's just part of what Charles Snipes was about. He's going to be sorely missed in our community. He was 85 years old, and he was active in just about everything, including Lenoir-Rhyne University, and I just wanted to pay tribute to him here today. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Jarvis, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor. May speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
I'd like to speak in memory of Samuel Zeno Tussey. On Friday, February the 8th, 2019, Davidson County lost a true hero. Our community mourns the loss of Samuel Zeno Tussey, an Army veteran, a paratrooper, a Green Beret. Mr. Tussey fought for freedom that we know and enjoy today. I first met Mr. Tussey when I was around 15 years of age. The following year, I lost my father. I came to be employed by Mr. Tussey, and soon after that began to call him Pop. He was a great mentor, teacher, leader, and friend. If it was not for him, I would not be where I am today. His service was something that you could not ever get him to discuss. It was one time I remember we had pressed him. We were at work on break trying to get a story out of him about the military. And he told of a time that he had went into town, and when he was in town, he got the word that they were going to bomb communications in his camp. He went back through, headed back to camp, and went through the Army on his belly, got back into camp. They swapped communications and the ammo, tents. And, of course, they got out of there, and the rest, I reckon, is history. But he survived and made it through that. I will forever cherish the story. I felt it was a small way that I could honor him and his grieving family. It was John Quincy Adams that said, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, to do more, and become more, you are a true leader." That is the description of Samuel Tussey, and he will be greatly missed. Thank you for allowing me to share my gratitude.
What purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor, may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak today about the memory of my oldest sister's mother-in-law, Mary Monty Harden, who finally succumbed to her battle of cancer this past Friday, February 22nd, and was laid to rest yesterday. Mary was a loving mother, wife, sister, grandmother, and friend. She radiated a caring and nurturing energy that drew people to her. She loved many and was beloved by all who had the honor of knowing her. She survived by her loving husband of 46 years, Eddie Harden of Shelby, her son Mark Harden of Shelby, and her other son, my brother-in-law, Lance Harden, and his wife, my sister, Ashley Harden of Apex, and their grandchildren, Luke and Avery Harden, as well as her sister, Donna Pierce of Shelby. So please keep my family in your prayers. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, arise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor, may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to rise in tribute to a gentleman from my neighborhood, my county, Mr. Kenneth Raymond Moore, Sr. He passed away and was funeralized this past Saturday on February 23rd. Mr. Moore was a stalwart member of our community, and Mr. Moore also was a member of the famed 555th Parachute Infantry Battalion, which is better known as the Triple Nickels in the Korean War. He was a Purple Heart veteran and a combat infantry winner, and wanted you also to know that his son, Mr. Kenneth Raymond Moore, Jr. works in the finance office here in the General Assembly, and I just wanted all to recognize and acknowledge that. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, arise?
To ask the chair, speaker, a question.
The lady may state her inquiry.
I have on my calendar that Wednesday at 2:00 next week, our session is our panoramic photo. Is that still the plan?
Representative Ball, if the lady will suspend for just a minute. Representative Ball, the chair has conferred with the clerk to make sure, and the chair appreciates the lady bringing that to the body's attention. Members, on next Wednesday at 2:00 p.m., the annual panoramic photo will be taken. It is very important that members are on time and in their seats at 2:00, because in order to facilitate the taking of this picture, the chair will have to order that the doors be locked. So please be in your seat. For those of you who have not had the opportunity to experience this, it's quite an enjoyable thing to see a camera that's over 100 years old, which is able to take all of our photographs. A small bit of advice, when you see the light directly in your face, it's not the time to adjust your tie or your glasses. Otherwise, this will be your picture. So please make plans for that. The chair would ask the clerk to send out a reminder for all members to please be on time on Wednesday at 2:00. Members, are there any further notices or announcements? The chair is going to recognize the clerk to make committee appointments per the speaker. The clerk will read.
Representative Goodman is removed from rules. Representative Holly is added to rules. Representative Lofton is added to agriculture. Representative Hunt is added to appropriations capital. Representative Clark is added to appropriations capital. Representative Russell is added to appropriations transportation. Representative Dahl is added to appropriations agriculture. Representative Holly is added to electronics. Representative Black is on emerging energy. Representative Garrison is on insurance. Representative Gill is on judiciary. Representative Brockman is on redistricting. Representative Beasley is on rules. Representative Graham is on wildlife.
Yes. Members, are there any further notices or announcements? It's the chair's intent to do the introduction of bills and resolutions after we adjourn, unless there's objection to that. Further notices and announcement? If not, Representative Soka is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 28th at 9:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Soka has moved, seconded by Representative Quick, that the House now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 28th at 9:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those favoring the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned. The chair is about to make the following committee appointments. Representative Hunt is added to the Committee on Appropriations. Ratifications of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The rolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 75, an act to restore the number of judges on the North Carolina Court of Appeals to 15.
Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Mashali and Howard, House Bill 172, K through 12, Academic Freedom.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, K through 12, and if favorable, rules count on operations of the House.
Representatives Mashali and Howard, House Bill 173, exempt ocular surgery from certificate of need laws.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health, if favorable, Committee on Regulatory Reform, and if favorable, rules count on operations of the House.
Representative Speciale, House Bill 174, Homeschool Tax Credit.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Finance, and if favorable, rule is counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Mashali, Kidwell, Dobson, House Bill 175, School Calendar Flexibility, Certain Systems.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Education, K-12, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Floyd, Lucas, and Richardson, House Bill 176, Federal Martin Luther King Jr. Park Funds.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, and if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations General Government, if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Floyd, Lucas, and Richardson, House Bill 177, School of Education, Building, Federal, State Funds.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Education Universities. If favorable, the Committee on Appropriations Education. If favorable, the Committee on Appropriations. And if favorable, the Committee on Rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Floyd, Richardson, and Lucas, House Bill 178, Martin Luther King Jr. Commission Funding.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, and if favorable, Appropriations General Government, and if favorable, Appropriations, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Stevens and Shepard, House Bill 179, Mini Truck Classification.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Transportation, if favorable, the Committee on Commerce, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Goodwin and McNeil, House Bill 180, State Benefit Pension Revisions.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirement. If favorable, Committee on Finance. If favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Conrad, House Bill 181, Walkertown Zoning Authorizations.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. And if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Hodister, Faircloth, Quick, and Clemens, House Bill 182, Guilford County Board of Education, Nonpartisan Election.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. If favorable, the Committee on Elections and Ethics Law, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Gill, Von Hafen, and Dahl, House Bill 183, School Calendar Flexibility, Wake County.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Education, K-12, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, Howard, Brisson, Adcock, House Bill 184, State Health Plan Design Study.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Health, and if favorable, the Committee on Insurance, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, Lambert, Stevens, and Adcock, House Bill 185, the Safe, Accessible, Value, Direct, Excellent, Save Act.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Health, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Floyd and Lucas, House Bill 186, Hurricane Housing Recovery Grant.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, if favorable, Committee on Appropriations General Government, if favorable, Appropriations, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Ross and Rydell, House Bill 187, Amend Town of Elon Charter Parking Ordinances.
The bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Ross and McNeil, House Bill 188, Retirement Administrative Changes, 2019.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirement, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Alexander, House Bill 189, Workers' Compensation, Sole Proprietors Must Have Coverage.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Commerce, if favorable, the Committee on Insurance, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
House Joint Resolution, Representative Willingham, House Joint Resolution 190, American Economic Recovery.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Banking, if favorable, the Committee on Commerce, if favorable, the Committee on Transportation, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Clemens, Quick, Hodister, and Faircloth, House Bill 191, Housing Recovery, Restore Greensboro Funds.
Bill is referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations General Government, if favorable, Appropriations, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Clemens, Hodister, Quick, and Brockman, House Bill 192, School Calendar Flexibility, Guilford County.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Education, K-12, and if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Clemens, Faircloth, Hodister, and Quick, House Bill 193, Greensboro Small Business Enterprise.
Bills referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. If favorable, Commerce. If favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representative Goodwin, House Bill 194, allow coordination of school and community college calendars.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, K through 12, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives White, Rydell, Zoka, and Cunningham, House Bill 195, Board of Nursing Technical Changes.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health, if favorable, Committee on Judiciary, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, and if favorable, Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Fischale, Howard, and Pittman, House Bill 196, Parental Consent for Sex Education.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, K through 12, if favorable, the Committee on Health, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 197, Richmond County College Multicampus Funds.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, Community College, if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations, Education, if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations, and if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Davis, Stevens, Jarvis, and Carter, House Bill 198, Human Trafficking Commission Recommendations.
Bills referred to the Committee on Judiciary, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, if favorable, Appropriations, Health, and Human Services, if favorable, Appropriations, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Hodister, Sain, Eiler, and Brockman, House Bill 199, Permanent Charter School Transportation Grant.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, K through 12, if favorable, Appropriations, Education, if favorable, Appropriations, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Hurley, Johnson, Horn, and Elmore, House Bill 200, Education Report Changes.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education, K through 12, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Hurley and McNeil, House Bill 201, Register of Deeds Tax Certification Expansion.
Bills referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, and if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Messages from the Senate, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 77, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the deadline to apply for the Hurricane Florence Agriculture Disaster Program of 2018 for certain counties that receive a presidential or secretarial disaster declaration as a result of Hurricane Michael after the original deadline.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Clerk, the chair is going to deem that this may be a time-sensitive matter, and therefore the bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Mr. Clerk, upon motion of the Chair, House Bill 155, an act to make changes to unclaimed property statutes, is withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and recommitted to the Committee on Finance, and if favorable, referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 37, an act extending the statute of limitations for civil action for child sexual abuse so that a plaintiff has until age 45 to commence an action. Upon motion of the chair, it is withdrawn from judiciary criminal and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary with a serial referral to rules, calendar, and operations of the House. House Bill 103, an act to promote small dairy sustainability by allowing the retail sale of raw milk for human consumption. Upon motion of the chair, the bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Health and recommitted to the Committee on Agriculture. The serial referral to rules is strictly. If the bill is found favorable in agriculture, it will be referred to the Committee on Health, and if favorable, referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Mr. Clerk, the Chair directs that House Bill 72, an act to express the support of the General Assembly for multiple recess periods for public schools located in Lincoln County and Union County, be engrossed.
Reading of a representative statement honoring and celebrating former members of the House of Representatives of the North Carolina General Assembly, whereas since 1976, February has been recognized as Black History Month across the United States, and whereas Black History Month evolved from Negro History Week, which was established in 1926 by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, a Harvard-educated African-American author and scholar who wanted to bring national attention to the contributions of African-Americans and what they have made to this country, and whereas the first African-Americans were elected to serve in the North Carolina General Assembly in 1868, but as a result of racist practices and laws were barred from elective office from 1900 to 1968, and whereas with the passage and enforcement of the Voting Rights Act in 1965, African Americans were again elected to the General Assembly, beginning with the 1969 swearing-in of Henry E. Fry of Guilford County to the House of Representatives, and whereas between 1971 and 2015, African Americans, excluding those serving in the House of Representatives in 2019, began serving initial terms in the General Assembly as follows. 1971, Joy J. Johnson, Democrat, Robeson County. Alfreda Johnson Webb, Democrat, Guilford County. 1973, H.M. Michaud, Jr., Democrat, Durham County. 1977, Howard Clement III, Democrat, Durham County. Richard C. Irwin, Democrat, Forsyth County. Harold L. Kennedy, Jr., Democrat, Forsyth County. 1979, Kenneth Spaulding, Democrat, Durham County. Robert Davis, Democrat, Robinson County. Annie Brown Kennedy, Democrat, Forsyth County. 1981, Daniel Blue, Jr., Democrat, Wake County. Melvin Creasy, Democrat, Northampton County. 1983, Frank Balance, Jr., Democrat, Warren County. Philip Berry, Democrat, Mecklenburg County. Chancey Edwards, Democrat, Cumberland County. Herman Geis, Democrat, Guilford County. Charlie Hauser, Democrat, Forsyth County. Luther Geralds, Democrat, Cumberland County. Sidney Locks, Democrat, Robeson County. Howard Barnhill, Democrat, 1985, Howard Barnhill, Democrat, Mecklenburg County. Milton Fitch, Jr., Democrat, Wilson County. James Richardson, Democrat, Mecklenburg County. 1987, Logan Burke, Democrat, Forsyth County. William Pete Cunningham, Democrat, Mecklenburg County. William Freeman, Democrat, Wake County. Thompson Hardaway, Democrat, Halifax County. 1989, Dr. James P. Green, Democrat, Granville County. Howard Hunter, Jr., Democrat, Northampton County. 1991, Mary E. McAllister, Democrat, Cumberland County. Warren Claude Oldham, Democrat, Forsyth County. William L. Wainwright, Democrat, Craven County. 1993, Alma Adams, Democrat, Guilford County. Jerry Braswell, Democrat, Wayne County. Doc Montierra Brown, Democrat, Halifax County. William A. Burton III, Democrat, Guilford County. Francis MacArthur Cummings, Democrat, Robeson County. Theodore James Kinney, Democrat, Cumberland County. 1995, Flossie Boyd McIntyre, McIntyre, Democrat, Guilford County, Beverly M. Earl, Democrat, Mecklenburg County, Larry R. Linney, Republican, Buncombe County, Larry Shaw, Democrat, Cumberland County, Larry Womble, Democrat, Forsyth County, Thomas E. Wright, Democrat, New Hanover County, 1999, Donald Allen Bonner, Democrat, Robeson County, Jimmy Ford, Democrat, Wayne County, John D. Hall, Democrat, Halifax County, 2001, Larry M. Bell, Democrat, Sampson County, Paul Miller, Democrat, Durham County, 2003, Bernard Allen, Democrat, Wake County, Earl Jones, Democrat, Guilford County, Erlene Parmon, Democrat, Forsyth County, 2005, Linda Coleman, Democrat, Wake County, Larry Hall, Democrat, Durham County, Edward Jones, Democrat, Halifax County, 2007, Angela Bryant, Democrat, Nash County, Ty Harrell, Democrat, Wake County, Sandra Spalding Hughes, Democrat, New Hanover County, Annie Mobley, Democrat, Hertford County, 2009, Pearl Burris Floyd, Democrat, Gaston County, Nick Mackey, Democrat, Mecklenburg County, 2011, Marcus Brandon, Democrat, Guilford County, Barbara Lee, Democrat, Craven County, Rodney W. Moore, Democrat, Mecklenburg County, 2013, Nathan Baskerville, Democrat, Vance County, Valerie Fouché, Democrat, Orange County, George Graham, Democrat, Lenoir County, Edward Haynes, Democrat, Forsyth County, Bobby Richardson, Democrat, Franklin and Nash Counties, 2015, Ralph C. Johnson, Democrat, Guilford County. Now, therefore, during Black History Month, it is fitting to honor the African-American legislators who are members of the House of Representatives, many who have overcome obstacles and broke racial barriers to serve their districts and this state from 1969 to present. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed on the journal this 27th day of February 2019, submitted by Representative Gene Farmer Butterfield, submitted by Representative Kelly Alexander, submitted by Representative Evelyn Terry, submitted by Representative Candy Smith, signed by House Principal Clerk James White.